Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. This is David Clark. I greet you again this morning. It's good to be back with you. A little rainy outside. I hope you're all up getting ready for church today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Don't complain about it. It won't do any good. Nobody will listen anyways. But let's get up and worship the Lord today. This is His day. I want to share some scripture with you out of the book of Mark, if you want to turn there with me. Thank you to everyone tuning in with us all around the world, everywhere that you are, all our guys at Baker Prison, Union, all the different places that you, Florida State Prison, everyone, family, friends, all of you, welcome to the Truth Ministries today. I'm going to be reading something with you. I have had this message on my heart. I have shared a portion of this at a nursing home last week. I shared another portion of it last night at the prison, and I'm going to share something else again today. I'm going to just preach this until the Lord takes the burden off my heart. That's all I can tell you. I'm just going to keep on preaching it until I feel like I've said all I need to say about it, and that's all I can do. I stayed up last night till about 1 o'clock this morning, getting a different message ready, prepared. I may use that at another time. But this is what I got to continue with here. Mark chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. I want to read several verses here. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say it to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. I love to be in meetings in the church where things happen, and later on everybody's sitting around talking about it, and they say, I've never seen it like that before. I like to hear testimonies of things that God has done, miracles he's worked, and for people to be able to say, I never saw it like that before. There's something about the way that God moves. I like to hear things that God has done. But this morning, I want to tell you this story. I want to kind of just elaborate. I want to draw a mental picture for you this morning about what happened here at this house in Capernaum. Now, the title of this message is very, very important. You have to understand this morning that there is a need. There's an urgent, immediate need in this world today, and the need is for Christ. The need is for Christ. Now, people in this world, and people that are sick, saints that are sick, people that need the Lord, they need healing, they need all kinds of things. Some of those folks get to a place where they're discouraged, where they're pressed down, where they don't know what else to do. They can't get, seemingly, they can't get to him. Well, I want to tell you this morning that it is time that you and me, as the Church of Jesus Christ, get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. Now, in the book of Mark chapter 2, we read how that this Jesus had come to a house in Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. The news had traveled that Jesus was in the area, and then something happened that we don't see happen too often today. People found out Jesus was going to be there, and so they packed the house out. That speaks for itself, doesn't it? A lot of us will advertise revivals, we'll have meetings, we'll have a series of services, we'll announce Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, services, prayer meetings, and tell people, come on and be with us and worship. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. And, you might have a normal-sized crowd, maybe a visitor or two, and then lots of empty seats. But in this house in Capernaum, when Jesus showed up, the response of the people was that they recognized there was somebody in the house who had power, someone in the house who had solutions. He had answers. And so out of their curiosity, some was because of their curiosity, but the Bible also says there were Pharisees there. And so some came out of curiosity, and some came because they wanted to spectate and see what was going on. Some wanted to make fun. Some wanted to laugh and mock, I'm sure. Some folks did not have good intentions. Nevertheless, when Jesus showed up, the house filled up. The Bible says that there was people that were sick that could not even get to Christ because of the press, because people were packed in so tight they could not even get to the Lord. And so they were having to figure out other means of getting people to him to be healed. It baffles me how that we can tell folks, we go to a church that believes in the moving of the Holy Ghost. We go to a church that believes in divine healing. You tell somebody that's sick, come to church, we're going to pray for you, God will heal you. They'll have every excuse why they won't go. I really don't know if people believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. I wonder today, do we really believe that when we show up for church and we worship God, do we believe that he really inhabits the place? Do we really believe that the Spirit of God is present? Can we feel him? Maybe a lot of places is because he's not present. Maybe they've gone so long without feeling the power of God, they don't remember what it's like. I don't know. You'll have to rule that out for yourself. But this morning, I believe that when we get together to worship, folks that are living right, folks that are holy, we go raise holy hands and worship, the Spirit of the Lord hovers in the place, and things begin to happen. Miracles and signs and wonders take place that the book of Acts said that would happen. These signs shall follow them that believe. I love to see things that happen whenever the church gets together. Jesus was in the house. It was noised abroad that he was there. People began to tell it. People began to witness and to invite somebody. You got somebody that's sick, bring them to the house. Jesus is going to be there. First and foremost, I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus is in the house? Do you believe that when you gather together with the saints, that he's going to meet you there? And not only is he going to meet you there, but he has the answer to every one of your problems. He has the solution to your needs this morning. Jesus is in the house. What is there to fear if he's in the house? You come into the church house bogged down with the cares of life. You come into the church house, all your mind's all in 100 different directions. You're depressed and oppressed. People come in addicted to all kinds of things. People come in with suicidal spirits. People come in feeling all different types of ways. But I want to tell you this morning that no matter what the ailment, no matter what the state of mind, when you come into the house of God, if it's a house of God, that is, if it's a house of prayer, if it's a good sanctified place of worship, you are entering in into the presence of God Almighty. I know he's everywhere, but listen to me. I know Jesus is everywhere, but whenever I need a doctor, I'm not just going to stay at home and watch one on television and hope that he can fix my problem. I'm going to go to where the doctor is. whenever I need him, I'm going to go see if I can't find me a hospital somewhere and call the doctor. Whenever I need the Lord, I have prayed in times of need. But on Sunday morning, when it's time to go to the house of God, I'm not going to sit at home and just because I can and then complain because God don't move for me. I'm going to go seek him out. I'm going to go find the place where the people of God gather together, where there's some elders that can lay hands on me, where there's some folks that still believe in the anointing with oil and pray in the prayer of faith and that it will save the sick. I'm going to go find somebody filled with the Holy Ghost that can get me prayed through to deliverance. I'm going to seek him out. These folks packed this house to capacity only because Jesus was in the house. He's in the house this morning. Jesus is in the house. Now, the place got so packed that there were sick folks on the outside that could not get in to have their needs prayed for, to have their needs met. And so there were some guys there that was bringing a man to Christ who was sick of the palsy. And those three guys got together and they began to think outside the box. I know that scares people when we say that, to think outside the box. But listen, I'm sure that it's not often that people tear roofs off to get people to Christ. But these men were desperate to have this man, to give him an encounter with the Lord. They were desperate to get him in front of Jesus so he might be healed. How long has it been since you were so desperate for yourself or for a neighbor or for a loved one that you would do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus? You would push back the plate. You would withdraw from the fun and activities and reserve yourself to prayer. You would retreat into the prayer closet. You would bask in God's word. You would lay before him and commune and fellowship and hours of prayer. What would you do to get somebody healed? What would you do to get them to Jesus this morning? I want to tell you that these guys began to think outside the box. I'm sure there was a front door. Sure, there might have been a back door, but the crowd was great. They were pressed in and packed in that house, and it was not accessible. There was only one other thing to do, and they said, listen, I know the problem is outside the house, but the solution is inside the house. I know there's one on the inside who has the answer to our problem, and so we're going to do whatever it takes to get this man to Jesus. So they begin to fashion a plan. They begin to put together a process. And the Bible says here in the book of Mark chapter 2 that when the roof was broken apart, it was broken apart. This was not some just a few pieces of tin like we have on roofs now. You could just pull off and roll back. They didn't have the type of equipment we have now. This was mud and mortar and rocks and straw, whatever else they could get their hands on to fashion a roof with. Back in the Bible times, they begin to break this roof up. They begin to scratch and to dig and to claw. I want to bring this point to your attention right now, that sometimes getting people to Jesus is dirty work. It's hard work. Sometimes your nails get messed up, ladies. Sometimes, men, you get calluses on your hands. Sometimes you might get your feet and your knees dirty. Sometimes it may require some sweat and blood and tears. Sometimes it might require you making a sacrifice. But I want to tell you that if you're going to get folks to Jesus, it's going to require us to get our hands dirty. It's going to require us to get out and to compel them. Listen, I imagine when they were scratching this roof off, when they were clawing and breaking up pieces of this roof, maybe it hurt their hands some. Maybe they got splinters. Maybe some of them, you know, had bloody palms. Maybe it caused calluses. Maybe it caused them to ache. Or I don't know. The Bible doesn't even tell us how long it took for them to get this roof off. But I want to tell you this morning that no matter how long it takes, no matter how tough the work is, no matter how bloody your knuckles get, if the problem is severe enough, you will do whatever it takes to get somebody to Jesus. How long has your loved one been addicted to drugs? Somebody talked to me this morning. How long has it been since your loved one has been diagnosed with cancer? How long has it been since your backslidden relative has come to the house of God? How long has it been since your children have been well? How long has it been since you had peace in your mind? How long has it been since your marriage has been on the rocks? Listen, it is time for someone to make their minds up this morning that no matter what it takes, I'm going to do everything I can to get this person to Jesus. It may batter my hands. It may bruise my knees. I may have to miss some meals. I may have to turn aside from activities that I enjoy. I may have to reserve myself to the prayer closet. I may lose a little weight. I could stand a little of that anyways. I could stand to push the plate back a little more. Somebody help me this morning. But listen, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to Jesus. I know he's the solution. I know that he's in the house this morning. I know that Jesus is on the inside of that house, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my loved one to him. The Bible said that after they begin to break it, after they begin to break that roof up, what do you think that it felt like to those guys? When they're on top of that house filled with people, they're scratching and clawing, and all of a sudden, a little place breaks up there, and then somebody hollers, "I can see him. I can hear his voice. I can hear the master. I can see the top of his head. He is in the house." I'm sure that it begins to spark their excitement, and they begin to dig more, and they begin to get excited. They begin to feel the anticipation of getting someone in the presence of God. They begin to break away all the barrier and all the boundaries that was keeping that person away. They begin to tear all that mess down, and then soon they begin to realize they were close to Jesus. They were there. They could hear him. They could feel his presence. They knew that this was the time. God's got us in the kingdom, friends, for such a time as this. How long has it been since you prayed somebody through in an old-fashioned altar until you knew they touched Jesus? How long has it been since you interceded in your prayer closet until you knew that everything was going to be all right? How long has it been since the Holy Ghost could wake you up in the wee hours of the morning and lay on your heart to pray for someone, to fast a meal for someone, to go out of your way to let somebody know that you were calling on the name of God for them, give them a phone call? Not here, just here recently, the Lord laid somebody on my heart completely out of the blue. I mean, somebody that I would have never in my life, I would have never called or got a hold of this person. It was out of my comfort zone, and the Lord woke me up one night, and he said, "I want you to go to prayer." I began to pray, and I could feel the Spirit of God as he began to move, and I prayed and prayed. After I was done praying, I felt the Spirit of God say, "Now you get a hold of him, and you let him know that you've prayed and that I've talked to you about it." And I got a hold of him. I sent him a text message, and I said, "Listen, I don't never do this unless the Lord tells me, but he laid you on my heart. He laid you on my heart, and I've been praying for you this morning." Immediately, I got a text back. I never even thought they'd read it, much less reply. I got a text back that said, "Thank you so much for your prayers. I'm sitting in an airport even right now on my way to a foreign country to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I need the prayers of the church more than I ever have." Friends, God knows what we have need of. He knows when people need to intercede. He knows. I want to ask you, how long has it been since you got someone to Jesus? How long has it been since your hour of prayer was so in-depth, so powerful, calling and pleading with the Lord on somebody's behalf? How long has it been since you were willing to tear the roof off to get your loved one to Christ? Church, we have the answer. The world is looking for the answer, and the church knows the answer. It's Jesus. It was noised abroad that he was in the house, but there were folks that could not get to him. There were folks that did not have access. When is the last time that we went out to seek the ones that maybe had heard his name? Maybe they've heard him from a loved one. Maybe they used to go to church. Maybe they've heard the songs of Zion. Maybe they've experienced the power of God, but they don't get to church anymore. Or maybe the fire's going out in their life. Maybe they've turned aside to other things. Maybe, but they're hurting this morning. When is the last time that we went out as the arms and the feet of Jesus and we brought them into his presence? Now let's go a little deeper here. I don't want to do like last week and run out of time and have to be cut off abruptly, and I'm sorry about that. That was my fault. But listen to me this morning. The arms, the hands and the feet of Christ is me and you. It's the body of Christ. If we are his hands and feet extended into the world, how can we get folks to him if we never leave our comfort zone? If we never go outside of our box, we never go out of our little bitty barrier, or anything that's uncomfortable, anything that's never been done before, anything that's unusual, it would seem, we deem that as you can't do it. We got to do things the same way we've always done it. We have to evangelize and witness the same way we've always evangelized and witnessed. But how effective have we been, friends? How effective has it been? Are the church pews filled this morning? Is the house of God filled to capacity? Are folks being born again? We must be the hands and the feet of Jesus, and it's going to require us getting out of the pew and getting our hands dirty. They lowered this man down into the house, and sure enough, just like they thought, Jesus healed the man, and he was sent on his way. What is the message here this morning? What is the message here? No matter what it takes, we have a responsibility to get folks to Jesus. Now, there may be some that cannot get to a house of God on a Sunday morning. But listen, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of every believer. If you are born again this morning, Jesus is living on the inside. It's mine and your responsibility to have enough of an experience with God that no matter where we go, we can enter into prayer with someone and they can experience the awesome power of God Almighty. Let me testify about somebody in the church real quick. I don't want to run out of time. There's a lady in our church, Sister Anna. A lot of y'all know her. She testified some time back about a neighbor. She testified how that the neighbor clearly had a need for God, and she wanted to witness to her. She met her at the fence a couple of times, and before they departed, then went their separate ways, Sister Anna put her arms around the lady and began to pray. And when she prayed, you'd have to know Sister Anna to know what I'm talking about, but when she prays, you can feel the Spirit of God. When she begins to worship, you can feel the power of God in the sanctuary. That woman knows how to pray and touch God. But listen, she began to pray and the Spirit of God began to move on her, and they went their separate ways. And a little while later, another time they met, the lady come up to her at the fence and said, "Listen, I want you to do that thing you did last time." And Sister Anna said, "What's that?" She said, "You know, I want you to do what happened last time." She didn't know how to explain it. She just knew that she could feel the power of God. When that saint of God began to pray and she began to put her arms around her, she could feel the presence of Jesus Christ. When is the last time that you got someone to Jesus? When is the last time that someone came to the Lord because of you? Well, Brother David, I can't go out and witness. Is your phone broken? What about your mailbox? Is it working? What about your telephone? Can you send a text message? What about a postcard? What about a message on Facebook? What about the Instagram photo? Anything you can do. Well, Brother David, I can't drive. Well, listen, unless we're Amish now, there's ways of communicating. Unless you're just living in an alternate universe, there's ways of communicating with folks to let them know that you're praying, to let them know that you care, to let them know that you're calling on the name of the Lord for them. Folks, we got to do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus. He's in the house. We've got to get them to the Lord this morning. What about those ones that will come to church? What about the ones that will show up? It's up to us, believers. It's up to us, child of God, to create an atmosphere in that worship service so when visitors come in heavy laden, when people come in and they need something from God, they can feel the tangible presence of God in that sanctuary. It's up to me and you to get them to Jesus this morning. How long's it been in the checkout line at Walmart since you've talked to the cashier and said, "Ma'am, I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you, that he died for you, that he rose again, that he's coming back, and he wants you to go with him"? How long has it been since you paid for somebody's meal and let them know that Jesus loves them? How long has it been since you left your waitress a tip and wrote on that receipt that Jesus loves you? I'm praying for you. I've got your name, and I'm going to call it out to heaven. I'm going to intercede on your behalf. How long has it been since we were the church? How long has it been? He's in the house. How terrible is it going to be when we stand before God in judgment and we've got the blood of those on our hands that perished, that went to hell, that died, or maybe would the Lord let us see those that could have been healed? They could have been delivered. They could have this or could have that, but they were not, because you and me would not be the church in the body of Jesus Christ. How awful would it be this morning if God can roll back the veil and he could show us all the people that we should have affected for God, but we would not. All the people that we should have ministered to, but we refused to. Friends, Jesus is in the house this morning. He's in the house. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. I want to ask you, when is the last time that you got your hands dirty for somebody else? When's the last time? Well, we say it, we love this. We love the religious facade. We love the good, kind religious words. Well, God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you. Prayer request comes through. We give it a thumbs up. We say we're going to pray, but nobody prays. Nobody goes into their prayer closet. Nobody petitions heaven. Nobody stands in the gap and makes up the hedge. Nobody's interceding. Friends, when is the last time you purposed in your heart to carry someone to Jesus? Lord, I'll tear the roof off of this house if I have to. If I got to go by and pick them up in my own automobile and drive them to church. God forbid if it requires us to put our arm around somebody who's homeless and don't smell good to get them to Jesus. God forbid it require us to sit down to a meal with an unbeliever in order to witness to them. Some of us are too sanctified and holy to get our hands dirty. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, he was about the Father's business. He was never all bedecked out in jewels and robes, standing in the sanctuary, only talking to those who were clean. He was out there in the middle of it. He was in the crowds. He was working the congregation. All that would follow him, all that were hungry, all that were sick, all that were demon-possessed, he was right in the middle of it. He knew. He was the answer, friends. Jesus is in the house. What are you going to do to get someone in the house to him? What are you going to do this morning to get you in the house to him? He's the answer. He's the answer today. Jesus is the answer. I want to tell you this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. You've got a prime opportunity coming up here just shortly. It's 8:58. I got less than a minute left on the radio. What are you doing to get somebody to God's house this morning? What are you doing to get yourself there? If you're not able in body, what are you doing to prepare your mind to receive from God today? Listen, I know there's folks that are sick. I know there's folks that can't go. It's up to the rest of us to stand in and intercede on their behalf. What have you done to get someone to Jesus? Friends, we've got to have a stirring in our hearts today. I've got loved ones that are on their way to hell. It's my job to get outside of my comfort zone and get them to Jesus. I love you. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.brotherdavidclark.com. thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.